All right. Thank you for that good message and song, good sermon and song. Amen. Appreciate it very much. Tonight we have some of the folks with us that started out here with us, and they have ministries in other places, and we're glad to see them passing through with us. We've had Brother Kevin and Kay Mann with us here for several days. I was gone some of the time, but good to have had them in our midst. I'm going to ask Kevin, if you would, come on up and maybe say about 5 minutes to us here tonight. He's still out in Texas and keeping things straight out there, but serving the Lord. Amen. We all remember, many of us do, when Kevin got saved in our church and the other little old building over here, later become our song leader and staff member, and served the Lord a long time with us. And God's been using him out in Texas. Good to have you.
Well, my 5 minutes is going to be about 35 minutes, but I'm just playing with you. I so appreciate Landmark Baptist Church, and I appreciate the streaming video that you allow to go on the internet. I'm able to get, since there's an hour difference in our time, I'm able to get the Sunday school, and then I'm able to get Wednesday night, and it's a blessing. I get to see you, at least the back of your heads, often, and it's a blessing. I mean, it's just like almost like being here. But the Lord's been good. We've been out in Texas. My wife is with me. We're celebrating 32 years in April, and she needs the Congressional Medal of Honor for that 32 years, putting up with my foolishness and nonsense. But we're out in Texas. We're members of McPherson Road Baptist Church. We are busy in soul winning and visitation, men's visitation. We have a men's group that gathers on Saturday morning, and we have a short Bible study, prayer, and then we get out knocking doors and trying to win the lost at any cost. And we're involved in the music ministry. And you say to Brother Kevin, listen to that voice of yours, how in the world are you going to be involved in the music ministry? Well, my 29-year-old son, Jonathan, is our music director at the little church. And I'm trying to teach him everything I do. Hey, man! Yeah, so get that singing up and get it going on. And so I'm involved in that ministry and trying to tutor him and help him. Hey, man! And trying to get some spizzeratum, I think Brother Carter used to call it, involved in the service and get the music up and get the songs are going. And we have a good little church. We run maybe 120 or 125 on Sunday morning. And we're chasing a lot more than that, but we normally catch about that many. And then Sunday night we have services, of course. And then Wednesday night we have services. Just the old-timey fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, just like this. And the Lord's been good. And we see souls saved occasionally. We see the baptismal water stirred occasionally, and it's been such a blessing. So your ministry into my life translates into ministry into other lives, and that's the way it works. You give, and someone receives, and then they give, and someone else receives, and it's just the way it goes on. And the individuals that we're sowing into today, that you're sowing into today, are going to be in this pulpit tomorrow. And what we're given today and what we're living today is not for those that are already here. It's for those who are yet to darken the doors of Landmark Baptist Church. Those that are yet to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we give. That's why we live. That's why we go. That's why we preach. That's why we sing. It's for the gospel, to get the message out that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings, amen. And he's able to change a life, and he's able to give life. And he changed my life some 40 years ago, April 16th, 1972, when the Lord Jesus Christ over in that little building came into my life, saved my soul and changed me. And I've never been the same since. Made lots of mistakes, amen. Hey, made lots of mistakes. Yeah. Amen. And you're going to make them too if you hadn't already. You're going to. Amen. I hate to say that, but you're going to have to face some of that. But God, in His love and His mercy, draws, and He'll bring you back, and He'll teach you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. So that's the ministry that we have, and we're persevering. We're trying to do what God wants us to do. In May of this year, Lord willing, I'm going to retire the Postal Service. Whenever I lost my voice, I had to get me a real job, and went to work for the Postal Service. And so in May of this coming year, I hope to retire early and go back into ministry full-time, preaching all I can and helping my son all I can and knocking doors every day and visiting hospitals every day. That's what retired people are supposed to do. Hey, that's what retired people are supposed to do. They're supposed to knock on doors because the preacher can't knock them all. They're supposed to go to the hospitals because the preacher can't go to them all. Amen. That's what retired folks are supposed to do. I'm going to retire in the Postal Service, but I'm not retired on God. Amen. I'm not going to put my hat on the peg. I will for the Postal Service, but I'm not going to hang it up for God. Amen. Going to keep going, going to keep plugging, going to keep trying to win souls, going to keep doors slammed in my face, trying to keep talking to people about Jesus. And so you pray for us as we go. I hope to be able to go to some of the churches that I used to go to whenever I was a singer and give my testimony about what God has done for me by allowing me to lose my voice. Some people don't think that's a blessing, but that's a lesson. It's a blessing that I lost my voice. I'd rather be able to sing. I'd rather be able to talk clearly, but I've got to use what I've got. I can't do what I used to do, but I can do something. I can't do what I used to do, but I can do something, amen. Pray for me as we go. Thank you, Brother Carter. I love Brother Mickey Carter. What a blessing. And Miss Sonia, the First Lady of Landmark. God help me. Oh, Lord, what a blessing. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for praying for us this coming year. Amen.
Thanks. Kevin was as a teenager in a hippie life and came to church and through some of the family loving him and getting him here to hear the gospel. And he got saved. And he really got saved. He sold out to the Lord, and in a little while, he was actually our song leader. Did a great job. He was a spark plug, as you could tell tonight. and did a fabulous job for a good long time. And went off to Bible college. And was singing and preaching around, but his voice gave out on him. I'm still on my prayer list. I still pray God would give him his voice back. It could happen. And I still know a lot of folks are praying for you on that, Kevin. And it'd be a wonderful thing to see that happen. It surely would. Appreciate the word tonight. And like he says, he might not could do what he used to, but he can still do something. That's good advice for all of us, amen? It certainly is. Also good tonight to have Brother Chad Stanley with us. Brother Chad, I'm going to ask to come up and just give us a little report on what's happening up in Waycross, Georgia, Promised Land, and doing a good job up there, and it's good to see him, and just ask him to give us a little word here tonight.
Chad, you sure? Well, it's good to be here this evening, amen. And I'm always nervous when I get behind the pulpit, amen. Even though I'm not preaching, I especially get nervous behind preacher's pulpit, amen. I respect preacher and love them. And a couple weeks ago when preacher was out sick, I heard that Brother Scotty Drake, that he was going to be preaching. So I listened to the message he preached. And Boy, if you weren't here that Sunday night, you need to get that CD and listen to that thing. There ain't no place like this place, anywhere near this place. This must be the place. Was that good or what? I mean, man, what a preacher. And I tell you, sometimes you don't know what you have until you don't have it anymore. And this place, I tell you, you need to cling to it. You need to praise God for it. You need to do everything you can do to be a part of it. And I praise God for it, amen. And I love Preacher, Miss Carter, and I appreciate them. They mean the world to me and my family. And God's really, he's been good to us, amen. And this past year at our church, Countryside Baptist Church, God's really blessed. I was looking over our records, and so far this year we've had about 52 public professions, folks who have walked the aisle and made public profession salvation. We've baptized 46 of those 52 so far. Sunday I have, I believe, 8 folks waiting to be baptized Sunday morning, and that's a blessing. We're looking forward to that. And on a weekly basis, just about every single week, we have people saved, and not just out soul winning. The thing about Georgia is, Georgia's the buckle of the Bible Belt. Everybody's religious. So hardly, it's a rare thing to lead folks to the Lord out soul winning. It does happen, but not like it does here in Florida. But the difference is, down here, where you don't get nowhere near the people walking the aisle in a service getting saved, up there, almost every single week, we have people walk the aisle getting saved. And I mean, God's just been blessing. This past year, I had the opportunity, our church was given the opportunity to have a part in Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation. They're a print ministry out of Shelbyville, Tennessee, and I was able to meet the Lamond family and get involved in that ministry. And my dad's working with Help Ministries with Brother Scotty Drake and Brother Cham and them, and in Africa. And in our missions conference last year, Brother Shannon Lamond, who's one of the directors of the print ministry, he in conversation, he said, "How would y'all like to have 30,000 King James Bibles to send to Kenya?" And that's where my dad had been working, and we didn't have to pray about it or anything. We said, "We'll take them." And he said, "We'll print them and give them to you, and all you got to do is raise the money to ship them there." Cost $16,000 to ship them. And that was Monday of the missions conference. And Monday night, I shared with our church, I challenged them. I said, "Whatever our faith promise is, on top of that, I want to challenge us to raise $8,000 to pay half of the shipping." And our church is only 2 years old. We're a young church, and our motto is we're a church, a young church on the old path, amen, and Jeremiah. And so I challenged the church that way. Well, Wednesday night, our men were counting the love offerings and writing checks for missionaries, and they said, "Preacher, you got to come in the office." And I thought something was wrong. We didn't have enough money. I didn't know what the problem was. And they pointed the desk, and on the desk there was a stack of $100 bills. They said, "There's the $8,000 right there in 2 days." And then on top of that, we had another special day, raised more money. And I was able to go to Kenya with my dad, spent 18 days there in Kenya and Uganda, and saw multitudes saved. In one youth service I preached in, 24 young people walked the aisle and got saved. And by the way, thank God for the King James Bible, amen. And these folks that say, "Well, you know, you need to translate in these other languages," listen, if they can read their street signs in English, they can read the Word of God in English, amen. And so we sent them the King James Bible. We got back to Georgia, got back in the States, and a week later we heard back from one of the missionaries that was helping us head up that project. And by the way, in 18 days we gave out 30,000 Bibles. They were gone. Had people begging for them. Here in America, we got them sitting on every table, on every dresser, on our dash, in our desk, everywhere. We don't read them. Over there, people, I mean, they just about tackle you to get the Word of God. Well, a week later, we got a phone call, and to the best of their records, this is just people that had reported back to the missionary we're working with. In 1 week, there was 265 people saved. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God still has the power to change lives and save souls, amen. So this year in our missions conference, we had our conference in September, 2 weeks after I got back from Kenya, and revival broke out. And I'm talking about missions, amen. You ought to get excited about missions. Hey, make it a revival meeting, amen. I mean, ask God to stir your heart for souls and for missions and for the cause of Christ, amen. This is a mission field you're in right here in Haines City. And revival broke out. We had a family that had been visiting with us for about 3 weeks, and a predominant businessman in town, and I knew who he was, but it never dawned on me who he was in the church services. Well, Sunday night after our missions conference, we call that following Sunday Victory Sunday, because we just claim the victory that we're going to do something for Christ in the area of missions. That Sunday night, that man and his wife were walking out, and he stopped me and he said, "Preacher, can you come to my office in the morning? I want to talk to you." And I thought he wanted to talk about joining the church or something. And I walked in his office the next morning at 7 o'clock, and he said, "I know we're not members yet, but what I failed to tell you was I challenged the church to do it again. Brother Shannon said we'll send another $30,000 next August if you'll raise the money. So I challenged the church again on top of our faith promise. And by the way, our faith promise increased by $8,000 from last year. We went $6,000 over our goal last year, and we now have 40 missionaries, amen. In 2 years, we have 40 missionaries. God's blessed." Well, anyhow, that man, I walked in his office, and he said, "I know we're not members, but if it's okay with you, I'd just like to write that check right now for them Bibles." And one day, amen, it came in, and it's still coming in. Last week, another 1,500 came in. Sunday, 1,000 came in. And talking about just a little church, 100 folks out in the country, and God's doing something, amen. And just real quick, I want to share this with you. Next year, we're excited. This coming Sunday, December 7th, I'm calling it Vision Sunday at our church. I'm going to be laying out our plans for next year as a church. And starting the year off in the middle of January, we're going to have a revival meeting with Evangelist Justin Cooper out of Brother Fugit's church. What a preacher. And we're going to have a week-long meeting there to start the year off. And then in March, Lord willing, if things work out, the college prayerfully is going to be coming up and spending some time knocking doors with us on sowing a marathon. We're excited about that if that works out. And then we're going to have our first Bible conference. We're going to have a Bible conference. We're calling it the Old Time Religion Conference. Amen. And we're excited about that. That's going to be in April, the week after Easter. And we've got 9 preachers from across the country coming. And you can't have an old-time religion conference. And what we mean by old-time religion, we're talking about old-fashioned standards, the old-fashioned Bible, old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned soul winning. And you just can't have an old-fashioned conference, old-time religion conference, and preach on the Bible without having the man like Dr. Carter come preach, amen. So we're excited about that. He's going to be preaching for us a couple nights, and just excited about that. And people, pastor knows this, and some of the men in here that are retired from the ministry, from pastorate, you understand this. One of the hardest things about pastoring is motivating your people, getting your people behind you, and to get them to help them to get that burden that God's given you. And I tell people that Countryside Baptist Church, where God's called me, is the easiest church to pastor. God lay something on my heart, and I'll be praying about it, and I can just share it with some of the men in our church and say, "Pray with me in the future. These are some things the Lord's laid on my heart." And they say, "Preacher, let's not wait. Let's just get doing it. Right now, let's do it." Next Tuesday, we're starting a nursing home ministry, and excited about that. Next Monday, we're starting a prison ministry, excited about that. We're just excited about what God's doing. I'm here to tell you, God's not dead, amen. And in the midst of 2014, recession and everything that's taking place, God's not dead. Souls still being saved. And these folks, don't listen to these folks that tell you, you young preachers, listen to me a minute. When these folks that try to throw a wet blanket on your fire and tell you, listen, revival ain't ever going to happen again, don't listen. Because as long as God is still on the throne, revival can happen. The Bible says if we'll do it His way, we can see it, amen. And by the way, it starts with His people. If my people, which are called by my name, amen, you and I, if you want to have revival, then you start it in your heart, amen. Ask God, "God, revive me." And you get in tune with God and God's will for your life, and you seek to live a pure life and do something for Christ, and I'm here to tell you, you'll see revival. I ain't listening to that crowd that says it can't happen. Listen, it can happen, amen. I love this place. I love the folks at the college, the church people. Y'all are precious to me, and I think about y'all all the time, and just precious, precious people. Don't quit serving God, amen. Hey, that mission goal over there, man, I want to challenge you. Do more in the next month for missions than you've done all year. If you're going to give a gift to somebody for $1,000 for Christmas, listen, God's worthy of more. Give God more. Give it missions, amen. oh, it's recession time, preacher. And we hear from Dr. Carter. You can't hear it enough. You can't outgive God, amen. Hey, my dad, I'm not bragging on him, but I'm bragging on the Lord, and I'm done right here. But we were at a meeting at a Bible conference up in Tennessee, and they were trying to raise money to send some more Bibles to missionaries. They give Bibles to missionaries free of charge, and they needed another $30,000 to print. I don't remember, hundreds of thousands of King James Bibles. They were short $30,000 to do it. And my dad, we just got back from Kenya, and that was an expensive trip. He raised all that money by working himself to pay for that. And he said, I really don't have it, but he said, I'm just going to give $1,000 toward that to help with that. And God laid upon his heart, he had another $1,000 in savings he was going to use for something else personal. And God impressed upon his heart, so he gave $2,000 that Monday night of the meeting. Tuesday night, a guy walked up to him with a check for $2,500 and said, I want to be a blessing to you. You can't outgive God. You get involved with what God's doing, and God's going to bless you for it. Amen. Amen. Hey, there ain't no place like this place anywhere near this place. This must be the place. And by the way, there ain't no man like that man anywhere near that man. He must be the man. Amen.
Well, amen. Chad, that was something. Boy, what God is doing. Amen. Tremendous. Well, I tell you what, sometimes we get feeling like around here maybe things aren't as good as we'd like, but our influence is in a lot of places with guys like you've heard about that's come through this place, and God has sent them out. It's true with Brother Kevin, Brother Chad, just doing a tremendous job for the Lord. Tonight we have one of our church missionaries. He's ready to go back to the field, been home on deputation, Brother Jim Morgan from Romania, and going back to Romania. I remember when Jim sat right over here and was our bus mechanic and just working every way he could here on staff, and somebody preached and God got a hold of his heart and the Holy Spirit sent him to Romania, and he's been doing a great job over there. He's got the family tonight. Good to see them over there. Amen. And you leaving tomorrow? Is that right, Jim? I want you to come on and say a word to us tonight. Good to have you. Amen.
Blessing to be here. Amen to everything Brother Chad said. I'm not as good a poet as he is. But this church has been such a blessing to us. I had two of my kids married here. Five of my kids born in this area. But church has stood behind us, and it's a blessing to me to be a missionary sent out by this church. The reputation of this church, as I said last week, goes everywhere I go. Gets me into, it opens doors for me. I appreciate that. And I've been teaching a few college classes. I don't want to be an innovator. I don't want to be an innovator. I just want to be an imitator. I don't think you can imitate anything better than what's going on around here, and that's what we want to do in Romania. We're heading out tomorrow. We'll probably leave Haines City about 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we'll be headed down to Miami. We'll drop off a van down there, load up our luggage, about a 7.5-8 hour flight over to Lisbon, Portugal, another 5 hour flight over to Bucharest. That's after spending 5 hours in the airport in Lisbon. In a couple hours, 3 hours up to Bushten out of Bucharest in the wintertime. Amen. I mean real wintertime, not what you're having here. I'd like to just give a little bit of a summary of some things that have happened and some things that we're looking forward to when we get back. I've told this story in a lot of places. Just told Brother Carter about it the other day, but if you would, in the Bible, in Acts chapter number 16, we have a little short blurb here. It says this, in chapter 16, verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You know, been in Romania for almost 20 years. One of the first services I was in across the mountains from the area I was living in, one of the first services across the mountains in Onesh, the city I currently live in, there was a young lady that came to the service. Her name was Viorica. Brother Donahue has met Viorica. He knows a little bit about her. But Viorica, it took me a month to realize that Viorica was a girl. Viorica was, she dressed like a boy. She acted like a boy, cut her hair like a boy, cussed like a boy, smoked like a boy, drank like a boy. She was about 14 years old at the time. And she is probably, of all the people that have ever attended my church, probably one of the most faithful attenders of the church. But Viorica was a problem. She would come to church. She would come to church. She'd want to fight people. She'd come to church. She'd come to church drunk. She'd come to church with a knife. She's going to stab somebody one time. About half the time, I'd have to send Viorica out of the church. We couldn't stand it. And this story right here kind of reminds me of Viorica. You say, well, how's that? Well, several years after dealing with her and seeing the things that she'd go through, and I come to the conclusion that I believe that this girl was demon-possessed. And not because her head turned around on her head or anything like that, you know, on her shoulders, or not because she was scary or spooky or anything like that, though when she was drunk and brought her knife, that was a little scary. But because of this story, she would, every time she'd see me in town, oh, Brother Jim, it's so good to see you. And she'd tell everybody, this is my pastor. I used to always wonder why it grieved Paul when this girl was going beside in front of him saying, these are men of God. And you know, Brother Carter would be kind of like this, the biggest drunk, the biggest drug head, the biggest crack dealer in town, would come up and put his arms around Brother Carter at Walmart and say, this is my pastor. He made me the man I am today. What a blessing. Now I know why it grieved Paul. Because seriously, folks, she would even bring visitors to church, and the only reason they came to church was to laugh at us. It says, this is your church? They let you come to church? By the way, for 15 years, she was the only person that attended my church regularly that had a job. So I don't understand that. Viorica was a problem. She would, when she did come to church and when she had stayed through the whole service, she was a gypsy girl. She couldn't read. So she would sing the songs she knew. It didn't matter whether it was the songs we were singing or not, but she'd just sing the songs that she knew. And then she'd sing loud and off-key and obnoxiously. And then she'd always have these outbursts during the services, you know. You'd be preaching real hot about hell and, you know, how the guy went to hell. And she'd say, hallelujah, amen. You know. By the way, when you say amen, say it at the right time. It means so be it, okay? Learn your King James Bible, amen. But Viorica just caused us no end of problems over the years. And she would raise her hand that she'd want to get saved. She'd made hundreds, literally hundreds of professions of faith, but no change of life. But it was probably about a year and a half ago, maybe a little more, Viorica was drunk. She's in her 30s now. Viorica was drunk and she was walking home. And she veered off the path and got out into a field, and a pack of wild dogs in Romania got her down on the ground, and they began to rip the skin off of her body. They literally ripped the whole scalp off of her head and big portions of skin off of her arms and off of her legs. And I got word of it. They said that Viorica's dying in the hospital. And I went up. You have to live in Eastern Europe to understand hospitals. I had to go figure out which hospital she was in first. Then I had to figure out where she was in the hospital. It took me a while. We finally found her. She was in a little area that might have been intensive care. It didn't have any machines hooked to her, didn't have IVs hooked to her or anything. She's laying on a sheet metal table, and she's all wrapped up in bandages. She's in horrible pain, probably drugged beyond comprehension, just to keep her quiet in the room. But I walked in the room, and she looked at me, and she smiled a little bit, and she said that she was glad I was there. And I got down beside her. I said, "Viorica, you've been fighting this for years. You've been playing this game for years, and I think maybe God's got your attention." And she nodded her head, and she couldn't talk. And I said, I took her through the plan of salvation one more time. And I got down beside her, and I prayed with her, and I led her in the sinner's prayer. I don't know if she prayed right then. She nodded her head whenever I said that we'd be praying for her. But it was about a month and a half, 2 months later, I got a phone call. And Viorica was calling. She said, "Brother Jim, I got saved while I was in the hospital." She says, "I'm ready to come to church. Would you come pick me up?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll come pick you up." And I came and picked her up, and it was a different girl. She wasn't the same girl anymore. If she didn't know the song, she didn't sing. If she did know the song, she'd sing. No more outbursts in the church service. She'd listen. She wouldn't try to throw in the hallelujahs or anything else. She was just intent. Now, just before we left, we were having a baptism service back in May of this year, just before we came back on furlough. And we were going to be baptizing two people, and she had just come back to church. And she goes, "Well, if I'm saved, I need to get baptized, don't I?" I said, "Yes." And she goes, "Well, I want to get baptized too." I said, "That's fine, but because of the skin grafts on her head and all the, her family just really kind of forbade her to get baptized because they're afraid that the shock and the and all on the cold water. We baptized in a creek, and we put her off. But I said, "Whenever I get back, we will make it happen. I'll build something. We'll put some warm water. We'll get you baptized." But I got word from the man that's filling in for me. He said, "Brother Jim, Viorica has become a soul winner. Now, she's bringing people to church all the time. She's witnessing to people everywhere. She got it, and she got it good." And praise the Lord. You know what? That was 19 and a half years of ministry. 19 and a half years of kicking her out of church and then letting her come back the next service. Kicking her out in the next service, but letting her come back again. And I even took her to camp one time and had to put her on a bus and send her home because she is smoking at camp. And just, but what a blessing it is. And listen, what I'm looking at now, I'm looking at revival happening. Amen? I'm in agreement, brother. We need revival, and it can happen here. It can happen in Romania. And we want to do a work for God over there. I want to, you know what, I say this often. We have a purpose in life.
Yes.
Amen. Amen? And I didn't need to get a book from Rick Warren to know what it was. Amen? Amen? We've got a purpose in life. And it's not difficult. It's not hard to figure out. You know what our purpose in life is? It's to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? You know how you can spot somebody that's not real? They glorify something else.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's that one crowd that's always talking about the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, come on.
The Holy Ghost always glorifies Christ. Amen?
Right.
And I, you know what I want to do in Romania? I want to glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I want to glorify Him through the church. And this is the church that God given me. And I'm glad to be a member, be sent out by this church. And we just love you and appreciate you. Thank you so much, Brother Carter.
Amen.